The following podcast is provided to you free, as is all our content, at drhoffman.com. If you'd like to listen, help support Intelligent Medicine, and get great values by shopping at our supplement store, go to drhoffman.com and click on Shop, then click on the store. Thanks, and enjoy the podcast. Welcome to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and once again, we have the pleasure of interviewing one of my perennial favorite guests. He's Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum, and he is one of the world's experts on chronic fatigue syndrome and fibromyalgia. He is the originator of the popular website endfatigue.com. Is that correct, the name of the website?
Yes,
Endfatigue.com, and he is also author of a blockbuster best-selling book, From Fatigue to Fantastic. He's also written Pain-Free 1-2-3, a proven program for eliminating chronic pain now, Beat Sugar Addiction Now, and he's really an outstanding leader in this field, and he's been a real source of inspiration and information to me during my professional career because of his extraordinary research capabilities and communications outreach to not just the public, but also to physicians. And he's about to appear in New York. We'll tell you a little bit about that. Those of you who are health professionals, you might be interested in hearing him speak at an upcoming conference. But before we do that, without further ado, here's Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum. Jacob, it's a pleasure having you back on the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.
Likewise, Ron. You've also been an inspiration to me through the years, so thank you.
Well, thank you very much. We're a mutual admiration society, let's suffice it to say. So, great. So, you know, there's been a lot of developments in the field of chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, and I'd like you to comment on a recent change. Some people think it's a great idea, and some people deplore it. It's an effort to sort of rebrand chronic fatigue syndrome, to change the name to post-exertional fatigue syndrome. Is that what it's going to be called?
Well, SEID, or systemic exertion intolerance disease.
Oh, okay. Wow. Okay. That's a mouthful.
It is a mouthful, and it's a tricky one to remember. The name chronic fatigue syndrome has been horrible. It's as if we call diabetes chronic fatty fat person disease.
Okay.
Use that to ridicule them and deny them insurance and health benefits and the help that they needed. So the committee, which is made up of a lot of good people, I mean, there are some people who wouldn't know CFS if it hit them in the face, but there are a lot of really good people on the committee, and even though there's they were not able to get agreement on a name based on the pathophysiology, which is what was deferred, they figured this would be a next step forward in that direction and at least take it away from the old CFS moniker, which awful.
It doesn't really do it justice because, you know, like some person might say, hey, you know, I feel like I have CFS this week. I'm just really knocked out. Maybe I need a vacation, you know, that kind of thing.
Yes, I mean, and we've seen this with illnesses in the past, you know, that where doctors made believe the illness was not real because they didn't understand it. Multiple sclerosis used to be called hysterical paralysis.
Wow.
Lupus, just before our time, was still considered a disease of neurotic women. Rheumatoid arthritis, the same. And fibromyalgia is going through the same thing.
Even autism was once thought to be a disease of, like, a poor maternal attachment or something along, maternal attachment disorder or something like like that.
Yeah, maybe. There you go. I like that. So at least, you know, at least you have a good acronym. I mean, they should have put you on the committee to make up a name for it. But it's been sad. But what these diseases had in common is that they were immune illnesses that affect women. And the medical word hysteria, which comes from the Latin hystero, or uterus, tells us where medicine is in that regard. So at least there's a new day, and it is now considered scientific fact. It has been for a while, but now it's accepted by an IOM committee, that anybody who thinks that people with CFS are crazy and that it's all in their mind are indeed crazy themselves. So for the listeners, if you have a doctor who says, well, there's no such thing as this chronic fatigue syndrome or fibromyalgia stuff, you know, what I recommend is you stand up, look them in the eye, give them a great big hug, tell them, thank you for letting me know up front what a complete and utter idiot you are, so I don't waste my time with you, and walk out the door.
Okay, because, I mean, as you know, it's actually been proposed that the major therapeutic weapon against CFS, chronic fatigue syndrome, is cognitive therapy or behavioral therapy to help people sort of reframe their ideation about how crappy they feel.
Yeah, I mean, it's really a weird thing, but if you look at it, CBT, or cognitive behavioral therapy, has been an excellent treatment for cancer, heart disease, multiple sclerosis.
Right.
Because, no, it is. Because it teaches them how to cope with a severe, devastating illness while they're also getting the
treatment. Right, right. A point well taken, yes.
The CBT people are saying that you have to convince the person that they have nothing real, that the CFS is an illusion and a neurosis. And that's where it becomes abusive. So it's not the CBT itself. It's that piece of proposal that is really nasty. And we'll look back and say, oh, my God, you know, those doctors are sitting there and attacking and brutalizing helpless, crippled women and getting knighthoods for it. I mean, they're going to say, what were people thinking? But that's what's happening right now. It's sad.
Well, I like the exercise angle on this because sometimes it's also suggested that exercise is a good therapy for chronic fatigue syndrome. And I mean, to some extent, you know, very mild conditioning exercise, very gradual introduction can sometimes ameliorate the symptoms. But I think the notion that people who have CFS should exercise, you don't really understand this condition.
Well, let me balance out a bit. Because if you look at our SHINE protocol, which was shown in a double-blind, placebo-controlled published study to increase quality of life on average of 91%. The E in SHINE stands for sleep, hormones, infection, nutrition, exercise as able. Because what happens is that people will often have what's called exercise intolerance, where the next day they're going to be bedridden if they overdo. That makes them afraid to do anything. And if you do nothing, you decondition, which in this disease has horrible effects. So you really want to walk as much as you comfortably can. But if you push too much, you could be wiped out the next day, cut back by about 20% to a safer level. After about 10 weeks on the SHINE protocol, then people have the energy to begin conditioning instead of just crashing. And that makes all the difference. So there's a middle path here.
So it's almost as if you know, one of the best ways to accumulate wealth is if, you know, you save a little bit and then you reinvest it. You know, if you save a little bit of energy or recover a little bit of energy, you may reinvest it in a little bit of, you know, very, very appropriate exercise, perhaps at a very low level at first, which will help consolidate your gains. And then you can continue to make progress. That makes sense.
Yes. And listen to your body.
Yeah. And it's not a no pain, no gain situation. You know, a lot of people who are previously athletes, they just can't understand why they can't just put the pedal to the metal and reap results. Instead, they get sick if they overdo it.
Yep. Pain is our body's way of saying, don't do that. So no pain, no gain is stupid.
Right. And especially in this case. Okay, so tell us a little bit about, you know, some of the innovations in terms of you getting the word out. You have a popular free smartphone app, Cures A to Z. That sounds interesting. And this is not just applicable to chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia.
Well, it's kind of like having my holistic physician practitioner brain in your pocket, just a lot less messy. So it's a free app. There are over 2 million downloads now. And health conditions from A to Z, acne, disaster, gives a very quick, simple, here's what's going on, and here's how to make it go away. Here's how to use the best of natural and standard medical and prescription approaches to get well. So, and we actually have a new update that'll be coming out that dramatically expands the app. It'll be out in about 3 weeks. But for now, both iPhone and Android, it's Cures, capital A, dash Z.
Is it expensive? Is it like $99 a year to subscribe to this?
It's free.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Well, I was trying to decide what to charge for it, and we just said, Just make it free.
That's fairly...
Yeah, we've had about 2 million downloads at this point, so it's very popular.
That's great. So, okay, Cures A to Z, and that's, you know, on Android as well as via Apple iTunes, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So, and tell us a little bit about what you're coming to New York to talk about, because many of our listeners are in the New York metropolitan area. We're proud to say that we have a lot of health practitioners here. We have an event in New York that kind of is sort of demarcates the winter for us. You know, this is sort of the hunger season. It's cold, it's bleak. And then once a year here in New York, we have something called the IHS, the International Health Symposium, which attracts people from all over the country, really, but throughout the tri-state region, coming into downtown Manhattan to hear outstanding lectures from literally all over the world, but in particular, outstanding people from all over the United States. And you are going to give one of the featured lectures there, correct?
I'll be lecturing at 1:30 on Saturday, the 21st of February, and I'll be speaking for an hour and 15 minutes on effective treatment for chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, and chronic pain. So for any health practitioner who's able to come on by, I will teach you how to get the people you see better. This is a very how-to lecture. It's very much, here's how you assess it, here's how you get them well. So we're going to have fun.
Okay, great. So, you know, for a lot of our listeners, you know, many of them are interested in the supplements that you advocate for treatment of chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia. And it would be reductive to say that, oh, it's just about going to the health food store and buying a bunch of supplements and quaffing pills. But there are some supplements that have been an important part of your SHINE protocol that have helped restore wellness to a lot of patients.
There are things that are awesome, and we've published two studies now looking at ribose, which is an energy nutrient. And in the study, it increased energy an average of 61% at 3 weeks in people with CFS and fibromyalgia. It improved sleep, decreased pain, improved cognitive function, improved overall well-being. So the ribose, the energy crisis in general is a major, major issue in this disease. The SHINE protocol in general, there's an herbal mix for sleep called the Revitalizing Sleep Formula. Excellent.
Because that's the key is the S in SHINE is to restore sleep, because sleep is so terribly disrupted in these patients.
Just so. And for the hormonal things, it's critical that people realize that the blood tests will miss the large majority of people who have it, who need help for pain. For pain in general, I don't care what kind of pain. It's interesting. There's three supplements that are awesome. One is curcumin, which is a mix of a highly absorbed curcumin, PLPA, natokinase, and boswellia. There's a topical comfrey cream. Then there's another herbal mix called N-Pain. You want to give these 6 weeks to see the full effect. They can be taken with any medication that you're taking. And they work remarkably well for pain. I mean, the curcumin has been a pain relief miracle. If I had to trade that versus any medication, the curcumin would be more effective. And then the fish oil support is important. But taking 8 honker fish oil pulls a day and burping up fish oil, I don't think so. Vect Omega, it's just one a day, replaces over 8 fish oil pills because it has the vectorized pure omega-3. So there are a lot of supplements that can be very helpful for people. And, I mean, there's a list of, you know, 15 or 20 others, and then a host of other treatments. And I use a mix of natural and prescription. I think that using the whole toolkit works best. But, Ron, let me give a tool for folks. There's not everybody can afford to see me. I do phone and in-person consultations with people all over the world, but they're 4 hours long, or 3-4 hours. So we created an energy analysis program. Basically, I computerized my brain, and it can analyze people's symptoms and analyze their lab tests to determine how to optimize that person's energy production, which at the end of the day is what's needed for getting people well from CFS and fibromyalgia. And people can get well from these illnesses. That's at nfatigue.com.
There's a tool. It's a questionnaire, and it actually helps to stratify a little bit what might, or prioritize what might be the problem.
Yes, it goes through dozens of different diagnoses and different conditions, It assesses a person for how to which areas they need to focus on to optimize energy. That's one that we used to charge $400 for. And we told people if they couldn't afford it, we'd let them do it for free. And 80% of people wrote back saying that they're crippled with fibromyalgia and disabled. They have no money. So we just made it free for everybody. It's just free to the public at endfatigue.com.
That's fabulous. So one of the key issues, and you've addressed this in your writings about chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia, is the adrenals. Can you talk a little bit to the issue of the importance of adrenal function?
Absolutely, because if you look at SHINE, H is hormonal support. In fibromyalgia is an illness where people have essentially blown a fuse. They have an energy crisis where a key control center called the hypothalamus goes offline. That area controls sleep, it controls hormonal function, and a key area is the adrenal glands. So the adrenals are stress handlers, and the blood tests are geared to tell if your adrenal function is so low that it can kill you, which is not what we're talking about here. It just leaves it so low that you wish you were dead. So here's how you tell it.
So in other words, conventional medicine only addresses the end stage problem where, you're on your last leg. So it misses a lot of people with subclinical adrenal insufficiency.
It misses the vast majority. And the way I have people tell is very simple. I ask them, do you have periods where it's like the light switch goes off and the people around you have 3 minutes to feed you or you will kill them? And everybody around them like points at them and goes, uh-huh, that's low adrenal. That irritability when hungry, crashing with stress, chronic sore throats, another kind of thing. But it's basically low blood sugar. And I'm going to have people, you need to avoid sugar. You need to increase salt and water intake. If you're salt-restricted, low adrenal, you'll crash and burn. There's a supplement called Adrenal Stress End, which helps smooth things out considerably.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And there's a Tai Chi move that's remarkably effective. What I have people do, Ron, is
Tai Chi, as in the traditional Chinese discipline of exercise.
Yes, a very simple move, and I can teach it to listeners in 30 seconds. So if you're watching TV, like the network news or other things that are, following today's advertising mantra of fear sells, and you find you're gritting your teeth, but you think you shouldn't be responsible, but you keep watching these things, you calm, you center. You take a deep breath, you reach your arms out to the side, you grab the remote control, point at the damn TV and click off. The comedy channel.
Okay.
Your adrenal glands will thank you.
Truly. Yeah, I started to catch on there. there was a punchline. Clearly, I mean, life circumstances and unremitting stress are things which damage the adrenals. And, there's sort of the care and feeding of the adrenals. And, you certainly pointed to a great illustration of how, you need healthy and positive input to keep your adrenals functioning well.
Yes, and you need to get rid of those things that don't feel good, which i.e. are toxic to you. And most of what we call the news, and if you think the news is truth, just channel surf between the five major news networks covering the same event, the political event, you will think you're on five different planets. So at least four of them fit the medical term called FOS. Mm-hmm. And I'll give you a secret, all five of them do.
Right. And what's interesting is, I'm not the world's expert on politics. I don't know that much about the inner workings of government, but I see these stories, and as you say, you read the Wall Street Journal, it's one story, you read the New York Times, diametrically opposed story. And then I read their coverage of the nutritional supplement industry. And I'm an industry insider. I know this industry inside and out. And they are so wrong. Their reporting is so irresponsible and haphazard and slipshod. And I'm saying, gee, if that carries over to their political reporting, that really bodes very poorly for political discourse in America.
Right.
Because
how can you say they're irresponsible? They're very responsible. They're responsible to their advertisers, who are
Big Pharma. Yeah.
Thank you. So they're doing the responsible thing. They don't want to piss off their advertisers. Do you know that many of the drug companies, when they put an ad in a paper or a magazine, magazine has to sign a contract saying that they will say nothing positive about Natural Remedies in that issue.
Yeah.
Conditions running the ad.
Well, you know, the nice thing about being small media like me is that I don't have anybody looking over my shoulder. You know, my sponsors are small natural products companies, and so nobody can pull my chain when it comes to dissing big pharma or agribusiness, as we do frequently on this program. So a point well taken. All right, this is a good inflection point at which we can pause. When we return, we're going to talk about a fascinating new project of today's guest, Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum, investigating Alzheimer's disease, maybe applying some of the same principles that he so successfully applied to chronic fatigue syndrome and fibromyalgia to a dread epidemic, an epidemic that threatens to catch up tens of millions of Americans as the baby boomer generation ages. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and we hope you rejoin us for part two of today's discussion with Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum. This is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.